The police were called on a book in Massachusetts, and Sungate rages on Twitter, also known as X, because an author just refuses to let it go. It is the season of naughtiness, and these people are showing out, and we are here for it. Thank you so much for stopping by Ceree Reads. A middle school in Great Barrington found itself thrust into the nationwide debate about book censorship earlier this month after a complaint about the illustrated memoir Gender Queer prompted a plainclothes police officer to visit the school in search of the book. According to Great Barrington Police Chief Paul Storti, police received a complaint on December 8th about concerning illustrations in a copy of the book that a teacher had made available at W.E.B. Du Bois Regional Middle School. The person who complained provided an image that showed illustrated characters engaging in sexual acts, according to the police chief. And Storti says, because the complaint was made directly to the police department, we are obligated and have a duty to examine the complaint further. Now, in Gender Queer, for those who have not read the memoir, the author Maya Kobabi, and I'm sorry if I am mispronouncing the name, explores the adolescent journey of navigating gender and sexual identity. This is the story of Kobabi. In 2021 and 2022, Gender Queer received a lot of praise, a lot of accolades, but it also received a lot of pushback as it was the most frequently challenged book in the country. It is not included in the curriculum at W.E.B. Du Bois, but it is a part of the teacher's classroom collection, according to the school's principal, Miles Wheat. After consulting with school officials, the Great Barrington Police Department ultimately decided to just send a plainclothes officer to investigate toward the end of the school day. And he or she just basically went to see if they could locate the book, which I don't think they could. And police also notified the Berkshire District Attorney's Office as a procedure in sensitive or complex investigations. The officials ultimately determined that the issue was a matter to be managed within the Berkshire Hills Regional School District. Now, the Berkshire Hills Regional School District Superintendent, who is Peter Dillon, said that school officials are working to support students and staff, and he also said, "I would have preferred that the complaint come to the school or district and not the police. We have systems to respond to concerns about curriculum." And I just want to plug that right back in there, that genderqueer is actually not a part of the curriculum at WEB. It was a part of the teacher's personal collection that was made available to students. It sounds like it was made available to students at will. So no one was forcing the kids to read this book. Okay. The police response, of course, sparked backlash within the Western Massachusetts community. More than 100 students and staff at Monument Mountain Regional High School staged a walkout in protest. The incident also drew Governor Mara Healey's attention, and Governor Healey says, "Our administration stands with educators who are committed to ensuring that their students have inclusive, comprehensive resources. I'm proud to see these students who protested stepping up to support their teacher, their peers, and an inclusive learning environment." I cannot tell you, when I saw this story circulating, it actually popped up. So I go to Google News to check out what new books are available, to also check out authors who are giving interviews. And when I saw this story pop up, it was actually in like the mainstream media news. I said, no way. No, someone did not call the police because they don't have anything else better to do, right? Someone did not do that. They did not call the police, who is busy, okay, who has a myriad of things to do, and complain about a book that's in a school. Like, no, since, like, no, no, no. Someone, and when I read and found out that this story was not a hoax, that it was the truth, I am consistently blown away by, I want to say, the stupidity of people. That is not a police matter. And honestly, like, whoever called, you know that. You know that that is not a police matter. No one is forcing your kid to read this stuff. No, no, no. No one is forcing your kid to read it. If you want to read it, first of all, it's a memoir. So that's someone's life story. And to say that someone's life story deserves to be banned is a strong statement from the start. First of all, to say that anyone's story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, deserves to be banned is crazy. Because a lot of the people who are asking for these books to be banned have never read them themselves. And that's where it should start. How do you ask for a book to be banned and you have not even bothered to read it? I was reading one complaint. This was in a school, not this particular school, but it was Amanda Gorman. And one of the parents asked the school to ban one of her books. I think it was The Hill We Climb. And Amanda Gorman is a poet. She writes poetry. And on the complaint, the person didn't even get her name right. They called her, I think they called her Oprah, and didn't bother to read the book, was upset because Amanda Gorman's book actually talks about, the poem talks about race and, you know, and whatnot. And the person was upset about that because they're racist. And it's just disgusting. You know, the unmitigated gall to believe that you have a right to ask something for something to be banned. First of all, to think that you have the right to determine what other people's kids have access to and other people have access to is bold in itself. And then to continue on, you haven't even read it. That is like the equivalent of reviewing books online that you didn't bother to read. That irks me too. And so this story is out of this world. It is, unfortunately, it's not out of this world. It's right in this world in which we live, where people want to scream about their rights, but they don't even know what their rights are. That's one thing. And then for another thing, they don't mind violating the rights of others. Okay, I'm done with this rant. But if you want to read more about this crazy, naughty story, it's in the show notes. Sungate. So for those who are a part of the book and writing communities on Twitter, also known as X, you have probably come across this thing that is being referenced as hashtag Sungate. It is the fight of one author who will remain nameless because I don't want to give her any more attention than she's already gotten. She accused another author, whose name is Marvelous Michael Anson, a.k.a. Marve, of, or Marv, I call him Marve, but there's no accent, of stealing her work. And I will leave a link to Ceree Reed's. And this is another reason why I'm not mentioning the fantasy author who's accusing party on this podcast, because her name is blasted on the story that I wrote on Ceree Reed. So you can check that out. It's in the show notes, along with the details of what was happening at the time. Sungate has evolved into ridiculousness. I should say devolved, because it's so stupid at this point. So the basic premise is that this fantasy author put a book out in the universe. She self-published it, and it is a book about a girl who goes back in time, and she is a slave at one point, and she has these powers given to her by the sun, and said powers they contribute to her identity. I'm going to be frank. I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to the premise of this lady's book, because anytime you come out as a flaming racist, I can't with you. There's just so much that you could be doing, we could be doing in the world, and hating someone else because they exist the way that God made them is just not one of the things. But in any case, this fantasy author accused Marve of stealing her work, because Marve is coming out, or Marvelous is coming out with a book about characters who have powers given to them by the sun as well. Now, Marvelous, who is Nigerian, leans into, the book is forthcoming, but from what I can tell, just from the tidbits that she's given, Marvelous will have a book that leans into the Yoruba culture, which is native to her heart. This particular, the other nameless fantasy author, it has none of those elements, but some way, somehow, this nameless fantasy author thinks that Marvelous stole her concept of sun powers. So she went on and she accused this woman of stealing her work, tried to blast her on Twitter, was rebuked time and time again. People were coming out telling her, you cannot copyright the sun, lady. In fantasy, there are elements. There's the sun, there's magic, there's these are just kind of like staple elements in fantasy. And if you want to do that, if you want to start copywriting elements, well then, you know, if that were legal, a lot of people would be facing lawsuits, because that's kind of what they do in fantasy. These are like the staple things. She doesn't want to listen. She didn't want to listen. She still doesn't want to listen. Now she has devolved into saying that Marvelous and her agent are working together to steal her work and put it out there in the universe. She has accused Marvelous of being a thief simply because Marvelous is from Nigeria. That's where the racist part comes in at. And this lady is just not well. She's not well. My issue with this whole thing is, it's a few things. For one thing, you can't, so she emailed or messaged Marvelous and told her, we may have an issue. I think you stole my work. And Marvelous did not get back to her within 2 days. 2 days later, this lady came and tried to blast her on social media. And this is where she was rebuked. That's one issue, is that that's not how you do things. If you feel like someone stole your work, and you want to reach out to them to let them know, hey, I think we got a copyright infringement going on here, you don't give them only 2 days. Because Marvelous is she's more popular than this nameless fantasy writer. So therefore, she probably has a lot of direct messages, and you reached out to her via direct message too. So it's like the likelihood of her clicking on that, you got to give people more time than 2 days. That's one thing. For another thing, as someone else pointed out, this nameless fantasy writer reached out to the agent of Marvelous, asking her basically, hey, I'm looking to be repped. And the agent did not reach back out in a positive way to rep her. And then days later, here she comes with this whole accusation that Marvelous stole my work. It bleeds jealousy. It screams that you're jealous, that you are jealous of this woman. You have targeted her and you feel like she doesn't deserve what she has. Another thing that this is screaming is harassment. This nameless fantasy writer will not leave Marvelous alone. And it's disgusting. I'm going to be frank. It's gross. Because, you know, just all day, at one point, this lady was just taunting her, just kept posting the, and it's just like, ma'am, be quiet. You don't have anything. Shouldn't you be writing? Shouldn't you be building your career? Okay. So that's another thing. You're harassing at this point. And then for another thing, I read a snippet of her book, which will also remain nameless. And let me tell you, it's not good writing. It's not. Every writer is not a novelist. Okay. Writing is an art. Being a novelist takes it to the next level. I took classes. I have, my degree is in English. My undergraduate degree is in English. So with emphasis on writing. So yes, I know a thing or two about writing and the art of it and the art of creating a book and creating worlds in fiction. And let me tell you, everybody is not meant for it, including myself. You won't see me. I have a lot of ideas for stories, but am I going to come out and do that? No. That's why I stick to book review, because there are some of us, we know what makes a great story, and I can tell you that. But it's a whole other world when someone sits down and they decide to paint the camp. They decide to paint the world that they see, that they envision, and they hand it to us. And they say, here, I want you to check this out. I want to invite you into this world. This is why I have deep respect for authors, period. Even this nameless fantasy author, I don't have deep respect for her, but I respect the fact that she thought enough of her writing to create a world and hand it to us and say, I want you to check this out. I want to invite you into my world. I'm not going to enter her world because I don't like when people are nasty. I don't like when people try to pull others down who are maybe winning at life a little bit better than you are. And instead of looking and saying, that's amazing, how did you do that? What can I learn? What lessons can I take? You seek to tear them down. So I'm the type of person, I'll read pretty much almost anything, even things that I don't agree with, because that's the beauty of reading. But this nameless author in particular, I would not be reading her book at all. No, absolutely not. And I was so annoyed with her activity on Twitter, because I actually did want to read her book. Even the little part that I read that wasn't that good, I don't mind reading books that aren't good, because sometimes you can still decipher between, okay, it's not good, but I see where they were going here. And that's like a part of the fun of being a book reviewer. But in this instance, we'll not be reading her book. And as I said, if you want to see who I'm talking about, please check out the link that I have left in the show notes from SariReads.com. And please stop being naughty online, you guys. Stop it. Adults should have better things to do. They should have better business that pays them than to fall into the world of conspiracy theories. This lady is completely unhinged. And I'm not going to encourage you to go and check her out on Twitter or X, because I don't want to encourage that. But I will encourage you to check out Marvelous and her book. It was a thriller. I think she was a debut author when her thriller came out. And I'll also leave that in the notes. And we want to show her some love. And I cannot wait until her book Marvelous and her new book comes out. I think it's set to come out next year. I will be in line to buy that book. I am so excited for all of the great things that are coming her way. I am reading The Blood of Patriots by William W. Johnstone. And it is a book. Okay. So for those who don't know, Christian Nation, I finished that book a few weeks ago, and it is very much so the dystopian world of the United States, according to what a liberal person would say. It is where John McCain, and instead of Obama, was picked as president, and the United States goes into this Christo fascist state. And it was pretty interesting. It was very much so one-sided, which I think partially made it interesting. Some people who don't follow in the way of progressive or liberal politics, they did not like it for the very reason that it was very one-sided. So after reading that, I said, well, let me get something from the other side of the coin. And this, The Blood of Patriots, looks like that is the other side of the coin. Let me just read the back. And it says, NYPD detective John Ward is all for religious freedom, but when he tries to bust a street vendor peddling phony Rolexes, he's suspended from the force. The latest casualty of political correctness. He decides to leave the city and visit his ex-wife and daughter in Colorado. When he arrives in the peaceful town of Basalt, I'm sorry, the pronunciation of words today escapes me. He makes a shocking discovery. Certain foreigners are taking over, buying up buildings, purchasing land, setting up training camps, and planning what? Like an army, they've descended on the town. They've set up their homes like military barracks, forcing their way of life on the community and bending our laws against us. Ward doesn't like the looks of it. And the deeper he digs, the closer he gets to the truth. The enemy is here on American soil. And if we don't stand and fight like our nation's forefathers, we can kiss freedom goodbye. So, as I said, this is definitely the other side of the coin. This is, I'm already getting into it. I'm about chapter 3 in, and already I'm like, okay, I see the perspective that this is coming from. This is definitely coming from the conservative side of things. The outsider is the enemy type of thing. And I think it'll be interesting for me to read. I actually didn't buy this book. I got this book from the library, Walteria Library in Torrance, California. And so, good on me. They have an honor, so they have books that you can check out, and then they have an honorarium system where you could just take the book off the shelf and just bring it back when you're done. So I can just bring this back whenever I'm done. It's not attached to my library card account. But yeah, I'm pretty excited. I will say so far the writing is really good. I feel like the structure is cool, but I don't want to say too much because I said that I was so excited about Tender is the Flesh, and that's turning out to be a thing of just disaster, or it's turned out to be that. So, that is what I'm reading this week. I will try to link it in the show notes in case you're interested in learning more about The Blood of Patriots by William W. Johnstone. Another week, another opportunity to learn, another opportunity to read. And this week's written word is coming from the book Happiness by Christophe André. And in the book Happiness, we learn that there are ways to be happy. And happiness is not just some fleeting thing, it is grounded. And it is, it's a process, and it's an evolving, process. It's not just like, oh, I have a feeling of happiness, and that's that. No, you can ground yourself in happiness. And part of grounding yourself in happiness is understanding that sadness is a part of the happiness cycle. Loneliness is a part of the happiness cycle, according to André. Dark nights of the soul, part of the happiness cycle. And so the quote this week speaks to the author's theory that happiness comes and goes in the sense of the high moment that we call happiness is really a part of a bigger cycle that includes sadness, that includes loneliness, and that includes sometimes helplessness and hopelessness. And so Andre says, "For happiness is a living emotion which is born, grows, blossoms, fades, and vanishes. It goes in cycles, just as night follows day." And a word about the book Happiness. That's not a book that I would typically read, simply because it has artistry in it, like paintings and everything like that. I'm not a big person when it comes to paintings. But the way that André conveys the story, paints the picture, as I was saying earlier, it gives a full, whole scope of the argument of what the author is saying about this feeling called happiness. I really thoroughly enjoyed the book, and I will definitely leave it in the show notes, the link in the show notes. It is definitely, Andre himself is a professional. He's a therapist, so that it put more, allowed me to have more confidence in the book, because it wasn't just some random person saying, "I want to talk about happiness today." This is a professional in the field. He treats patients who are battling with depression. And so who better to talk about the subject matter than him? And so, as I said, I will leave that in the show notes, but just know that happiness comes, it doesn't even come and go. Happiness is a part of a larger, scope of things, and I hope that books make you as happy as they make me. I hope to also see you around any bookstore, any library, anywhere that books are king. I will see you next time.